For my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is, life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Bad feeling about this.
Welcome to episode 150 of Blue Harvest. I'm your host, Halls Burkhart.
And I'm your host, Will Witt.
And we're coming from you. Coming to you from finally sunny California. Had some gloomy days the first couple of days. It was nice,
not terribly gloomy, but really overcast, and it was nicely chilly with some wind.
I was promised fucking sun and tropical fruits and palm trees, and we got all that but sun. Until today. Then we got the sun, too.
We got the best sun
from
today.
The city of fallen angels, where the ocean meets the sand. You will form a strong alliance
and the world's most awesome band.
It's been a good time. We've got a plethora of interesting California stories to tell you, but to be completely honest, we've been pretty busy.
We've been going nonstop.
Yeah, man.
Sun up to sun down.
Hanging with lots of folks.
Great people, meeting some fantastic people.
Spent most of yesterday, Thursday, hanging out with Aaron Boyd. That was a good time. Got some stories to tell from that. Got to see our buddy Brandon. We just got done having lunch and stuff with our good buddy Brandon from the Kessel Toy Run. That was a good time. But what we're really here to do is react to Solo. That's what we're here.
Because that's what we saw last night.
We're going to get you guys up a Solo reaction, and then we might try to record another one before we leave California. We'll see. If not, we'll hit you guys next week with some stories and some nonsense. I guess there's something we should address first, though.
What is that?
The thing that happened yesterday.
What happened yesterday?
They announced that there might be a Boba Fett movie. That's what they announced yesterday. Yeah, man. So we were in Orange, right? Is that the area?
Orange.
We're hanging out with Aaron Boyd, just killing some time before we all met up to go to Rusty Brown's favorite restaurant, fucking Chili's. Poor Rusty. Chili's really let him down yesterday.
But they've eventually came through.
They came through. We got to the movie in plenty of time. Even with the little bit of confusion I had getting to my seat and stuff. We were hanging out in Orange, and I haven't really been on my phone so all that much because we've been, you know, like just hanging and doing stuff. So I stopped while Jesse was getting coffee or something, and they had a news story broke from Hollywood Reporter yesterday that James Mangold, director of The Wolverine and Logan, Kate and Leopold, everybody's favorite Hugh Jackman movie.
Right.
Is set to write and direct a Boba Fett standalone movie.
That's going to be kick-ass.
Now, it's of course important to keep in mind that nothing's official until it's official.
Right.
This was not a release from Lucasfilm.
Done. It could change directors three times by now.
Oh, shit. Could it ever? But yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm super stoked about that. I'm also kind of cautious because this is a big one for me.
Boba Fett is your dude.
It's been what I've been asking for since we started this podcast. Just one Boba Fett movie. I don't need a trilogy, a quadrilogy. I would take it, but I don't need it. Just give me one good Boba Fett movie. Now, whether it's good or it turns out to be good, that remains to be seen. But yeah, quite excited about the prospect. Hope it's post-Sarlacc pit. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I don't even think you have to explain the Sarlacc pit.
No.
You could just go right on to after it.
Right. You could cover how he survived in dialogue.
And reference it if you want to. Yeah. If you don't have to.
So, let's talk about Solo a little bit. This isn't going to be a super long episode, guys. We just want to get our thoughts out and stuff, have something up on the feed.
Because we're having fun.
We're having lots of fun. California. We got plans tonight.
Yeah,
can't say that often for myself. As I've learned from the sunburn that I've acquired, the first sunny day in California, I am a basement dwelling fucking mutant, and apparently don't take to the sun well.
Yeah, well, yeah, the skin doesn't see much sun.
Yeah, man, it doesn't. It sees a lot of Xbox artificial sunlight from a fucking
fluorescent light.
Yeah, yeah. So we went to see Solo last night, and overall, I found it to be a nice, fun, enjoyable experience.
It's a fun ride. Real fun ride. Chock
fucking full of references.
Right?
I mean,
beginning to end.
References left and right, man. Like, there's the big ones, you know. Let's just go ahead and talk about it. It's going to be the big
topic. By the way, if you haven't seen Solo, this is probably not the podcast that you should be listening to.
Yeah, this is full-on spoilers, guys. If you haven't seen the movie yet, obviously, probably shouldn't listen to this unless you like spoilers. So the thing everybody's going to be talking about is Darth Maul, right?
Right.
What did you think about the Darth Maul?
I did not see it coming.
Right. Me
neither.
Didn't
see it coming when I saw it. I was like, oh, okay. Not a big deal. I see what they're going for here. That's a little more hardcore than I thought we were going to go.
Right. Right.
To the dark, you know, it was, I assumed criminal syndicates and assassins and whatever, but
and things of that nature.
Yeah, I didn't think they would go
Darth Maul
right to Lords of the Sith.
Is it Crimson Dawn? Is that his gang?
Yeah,
he's the leader
Crimson
of?
Dawn.
So, I have complicated feelings about the Darth Maul subject,
and I will bring up my one complication.
Right,
is that he turns on the lightsaber?
Yeah, see, we're together.
When
on
he
this.
Sparks the lightsaber, I'm like, dude, you don't have any reason to do that except to just to try to intimidate her or show off.
Right. So this is the thing, right? I love the Darth Maul appearance for a few reasons. I like anything that sort of ties the canon of Star Wars because they've been so, for the most part, a lot of the different areas of canon have been sort of cordoned off in their own space.
Right.
You know, not much crossover between comics, cartoons, and live action. Adding in Darth Maul, who was brought back to life in an animated series in Clone Wars, right?
Right.
Who just recently was killed off in Rebels, and he appears just like he does in Rebels with the robot legs and stuff in the hologram you see him in. It's cool that they brought that all together. If Darth Maul's going to be alive, then I'm fine with it being referenced in the movies. I like the idea of Darth Maul being like part of the underworld. Like after the events of Clone Wars, he goes off and starts his little underworld gang. That's fine. I'm cool with that. But come on, guys. How blatant do you have to be like, I'll be damned if there's not a lightsaber in this movie somehow.
We got to spark one somewhere.
Star Wars is lightsabers, and we are putting a motherfucking lightsaber. And you know me, Will. I fucking love lightsabers. When people say Star Wars is lightsabers, I'm like, fuck yes, Star Wars is lightsabers. But come on.
It was the equivalent of a mic drop. It was
a double-sided, very obvious, very... And I'm only talking about the lightsaber bit.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they got Ray Park.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that they got Sam Witwer to do the voice. It all, you know, makes for
that
a cohesive canon experience. Fine. That lightsaber. And it was cool. Once again, was it cool to see? Sure. Unnecessary.
I'm looking at, I'm like, whoa, Darth Maul. I'm like, whoa, he turned his lightsaber
just to show off. But that's my feelings on the Maul thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so clearly set up for, I feel like this movie's clearly set up for a sequel.
Clearly set up for a sequel.
You know, it's one of those situations where if we never got a sequel to that story, it would be fine. It does work as a standalone movie, but clearly they're going to set up. They're setting up for further adventures. And I hope it happens because I found this one quite enjoyable.
I do too. It was interesting to see how the Millennium Falcon got busted up.
Yeah. The minute Han got behind the wheel of that motherfucker, he started dogging it out, man. Yeah. Like, I thought it would be kind of a gradual progression. Lose a panel here or...
I don't remember who said it that was right, was that the thing on the front was the escape pod.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that I think that came out in like some merchandising and shit beforehand. But yeah, it was fucking cool, man. The Kessel Run is one of those things, like, so we've only seen it once at this point. I got to see that again to fully grasp it. I'll be honest, like, it was pretty cool. I don't know how it's going to hold up for me as the Kessel Run that we've always heard about. And the reason I say that is like, it jumps and goes, like...
It goes into a black hole plus a Cthulhu Kraken.
Right, and then there's, like, a gravity well, and, like, there's all kinds of shit going on, and fucking Beckett is injecting hyperspace fuel directly
into the core of the Falcon, so they get this explosion of speed. It's crazy.
It was cool though.
It's awesome.
Amazingly beautiful shots of the Falcon in action in this. It should be.
Right.
It's the movie for all intents and purposes that introduces, like, chronologically the Millennium Falcon into the canon of Star Wars. So it's only fitting that it has some porno shots, like some visually space pornographic badass Millennium Falcon shots.
Right.
Millennium Falcon porn. Look it up on Pornhub.
I don't think that you're going to find what you're looking for there.
What did you think in general about the movie?
Like I said, I thought it was fun. It was a fun ride. That's what I keep coming back to, is how much I just enjoyed watching that movie.
Right, right. I had a lot of fun. This is one, you know, there was a lot leading up to the movie. We had a full day. There was a little bit of stress about getting there on time. It took me a second to get comfortable in the movie, like physically, and just get into the movie. And then once I was able to relax and get in, you know, I fully bought it. Alden, I think... on a percentage-wise, probably nailed about 90% of being Han Solo in that movie, a young Han Solo.
Right.
Way better than you can ask for.
The character of Chewbacca.
Oh, my God. Chewie makes this movie.
He really does.
Chewie is my favorite part of this movie. All right, we got to talk about something. When they go to Kessel.
Oh, no. I know where we're going.
Right? And...
the other Wookiee. Of the other Wookiee.
I was so fucking jazzed to see all these other Wookiees. I had a hard time focusing. You never really get a good look at any of the other Wookiees except the one that's fucked up looking, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is something that might have gotten brought up when we were both on Now This Is Podcasting, which you guys should be able to hear shortly, I would imagine. I think Jason said that design-wise, it was supposed to look like a Wookiee that has been living rough, being used as a spice miner, as a slave.
I see.
So that's why he was all fucked up looking. But it was weird, right?
It was weird.
Fucking weird, like in the middle of the Thriller transformation Wookiee face. You know what I'm talking about?
I wasn't quite sure it was a Wookiee at first.
Yeah, that's something that I was kind of thinking about last night, too. Was it supposed to be just another sort of almost Wookiee big, like... furry ape, like, you know, I don't know, but it was a Wookiee.
They were all, eventually I realized they were all Wookiees.
Yeah. What'd you think about Lando?
Dude, spot on.
So good.
Love Lando.
So damn good. I gotta say, both Sabacc games, so much fun.
Yes.
Very fun, entertaining part. Then just those two going back and forth. It felt like those characters nailed. You know what I'm saying? Han, yes, and Lando.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was real good. I like the L3 and Lando relationship quite a bit. L3, I thought, was great.
It doesn't exist for very long.
Yeah,
you,
see,
you
that's
get
the
this
unfortunate
very
part.
Brief window into it.
And this is something I'll say. So we now we have two of these spinoffs, standalone Star Wars story movies, right? Rogue One and Star Wars. And I'll say the cast of characters, even if you remove Han and Lando, I enjoy the cast of characters from Solo more than Rogue One.
Right.
You know? And another weird comparison, I thought the war scene on Mimbam was a better sort of quote-unquote gritty Star Wars war movie moment than anything we got in Rogue One.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
The scenes where we saw Han duking it out in the Empire as a mud trooper.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rio, tight. Val, badass. It sucks they die so early.
Dude, I bonded to those two members of the crew
so
quickly.
Quick. I love when Val's like, I'm going to have to take out this dude, and I'll take out this. I'll just take them all out. That's so badass.
Yeah. What's odd is that they established such a romantic relationship between her and Beckett, and then when she dies, like, he's messed up for a second, but not as messed up as you would expect for them to have been so close.
Right. And I wonder if that's just a concession you have to make in a 2-hour movie. Like, you got him. Star Wars moves on from death fairly quickly in
right.
general. You know what I mean? And or if it's a matter of maybe Beckett didn't trust. He says, don't trust anybody. They're right. all left you. And so maybe that relationship from Beckett's side of thing, who knows, you know? I don't really know. But yeah, Rio and Val are both great. And it does suck. I see how it serves the story. You got to get them off the crew, so you need more crew, which is where you introduce L3 and Lando.
Right.
What did you think about L3? I
thought she was great.
Yeah, man.
As far as a droid, she was great.
The droid revolution on Kessel, so entertaining. That little droid, like, dancing on the control panel. There's a lot of, like, good, like, fun, just little funny shots like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I've heard people say, and I can see why they say that, that the newer Star Wars movies have been sort of lacking in romance, or, like, you know what I'm saying, like, romantical interactions. This one had it
chock full.
Yeah, you had Val and Beckett, you had L3 and Lando, and you had Han and Kira, and, like, there was a conversation in Star Wars about how it's possible to fuck a droid.
It definitely hinted at.
Oh, I think that's heavier than a hint.
Oh, yeah, that's probably
That'd be
true.
Like if I got you a Nintendo 64 for Christmas, and I was like, well, I'm not going to tell you what I got you for Christmas, but here's a hint. You're going to be playing Shadows of the Empire and Super Mario 64 and GoldenEye. And you'd be like, oh, I wonder how that works.
Yeah.
That's a pretty obvious hint. She's like, how does that work? It works. Get to writing Tumblr. Let us know how that works. Because, you know,
no,
Lucasfilm.
Don't do that.
get a little closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm on the mic.
There you go.
Tumblr, don't do that.
Sure, do that, Tumblr. What'd you think about old Eat the Booty Like Groceries?
I thought he was great.
Okay.
His old betraying ass.
Yeah, man. I thought he was good, too. Of all the characters, like, if I had to pick a least favorite, Beckett might be my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a good foil.
But only by matter of elimination. Like, I didn't dislike him. It's just what about Dryden Vos?
Dryden Vos was an excellent
villain.
Good
character, man.
Yeah.
I'm bummed that we didn't get to see the original guy cast for that. The guy from The Wire and shit.
Yeah.
But Paul Bettany's pretty rad, too.
He's pretty damn good. I'd be afraid he would kill me.
Yeah, he had like a real
psycho.
It was almost like, have you, do you watch Breaking Bad? Have you seen Breaking Bad?
Some episodes.
He's almost like Star Wars' version of like a Gus from Breaking Bad in a way.
Okay.
The scary, like psychopathic crime lord instead of like the big fat worm sitting on the dais that, you know, we've seen before.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other references and shit in this movie, because there are a ton, okay? If you had told me in 1999, this time of the year, 1999, that cameo role by Warwick Davis in the crowd at the pod race, that character is going to come back as a member of a marauder group.
That apparently establishes a rebellion.
Or is part of the early building of the rebellion. They haven't, you know, there's more to find out about that for sure. But if you told me that, I would have never believed it. But they did that shit. They also, did you notice they finally worked in a couple of classic aliens? There's motherfucking Rodian in that crew.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's about time, yeah, man.
That's right. It is time.
Also, name dropping Aura Singh.
And the man who killed Aura Singh.
Yeah, well, I pushed her. The fall is what killed her. The
fall is what killed her.
Yeah, man. Once again, like, I don't know. I can see how some of that stuff might rub people a little the wrong way, but I like it. I like those little references. Like, yes, give me that half second in the theater to be like, holy shit, they just said, oh, how can we forget Tara Kasi?
Yeah, right.
How the fuck did they figure out a way to work Tara Kasi in? What was that? Tara Kasi. Dryden taught it to me.
Isn't that supposed to be like Jedi Kung Fu?
Well, it's not related to the Jedi. It's basically the Star Wars version.
Star Wars martial arts?
Yes, yes. That's what it is. From a very bad PlayStation video game.
I've seen it.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Tara Kasi, Aura Singh, I think his name is Weasel. I think that's his name.
Wessel,
is it?
No, sure it's Weasel.
Weasel from The Phantom Menace. What did you think about Impha's Nest?
I thought Impha's Nest was a compelling and awesome character.
Yes, man. Now, so this is the thing. I was a little worried. And I've probably expressed this, like, I was going to get Phasmid with Impha's Nest.
Did not happen.
I've been into the design of Impha's Nest since things started popping up with the design of her character. And I was like, yeah, she looks cool. She's not in the trailers a whole lot, so I'm afraid she's not going to be much in the movie. And even if she is, she might not do much. But they did not do that with her, man. She is bad ass. Give me that Hot Toys now.
She's like a righteous paladin. Yes. Mad Max.
Mad Max paladin fighting with a machete on a stick. Cool design. Cool fight scenes, like when she's fighting Beckett on top of the Conveyx train and has all the fans and shit in her armor that she's using to block laser fire and
oh,
shit.
Oh, yeah.
So badass. The scene where they swoop in on the swoop bikes on the train, tight. So good.
Those swoop bikes are awesome.
Yes.
I wish I had a swoop bike in real life.
Seems a little dangerous for me. But
no way. You ride four-wheelers.
Not
air four-wheeler.
Yeah. The fact that it doesn't have wheels and can't hit like a bump in the ground that sends me flying off, that's a good point. I like the way you think. You might have me turned around on this.
Yeah, speeder bikes. Let's go.
Let's see.
Wish I could rent a speeder bike.
Hey, this is California. I bet you we can find a place.
Ride through the California redwoods.
We should go talk to Elon. I'm sure he just like lets people up at his house.
You know, he's got like a stable full of them.
Yeah, just hovercrafts.
Yeah.
Of all shapes and sizes.
Right.
They're dusty and shit. He's got so many that he can't use them all.
Well, you know, public traffic's not what it was a couple months ago.
What did you think about Kira? We haven't talked about Kira yet.
Kira's character is very good, But it's sad that it's such a betrayal for Han Solo.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Kira, to me, is good as a starting point for us learning about this character.
Yeah.
That's, she's one of the characters I feel like was the most open-ended at the end because they would like to maybe do something with her in the future.
But and perhaps the most interesting.
Very interesting. Like, she's savvy. And, you know, not trying to be a dick, before this movie came out, I said, like, she was something I was a little worried about because sometimes Emilia Clarke is great and sometimes she's not so great as far as acting goes. And I kind of feel like that was the case here, too.
Really?
Yeah. She had some weaker moments. Like the moment where he's like where he's about to leave towards the end and she's like, smile. And he's like, what? And she's like, I used to think about hanging out with you and every time I did, I'd smile. Not great. But she's got other moments where she's really good.
That's not a great line, though.
No. You know, not necessarily her. She's working with what she's been given. Right. I totally agree with that. Not a great line, but, you know. So you're a dude that likes to whip around in your car, scare the shit out of me when I'm in it, right? What'd you think of the car chase at the beginning?
I loved it. I was totally down. Wish I could drive that speeder is what I wished.
And can we say, if they're not going to do a crawl at the beginning of Star Wars, at the beginning of these spinoff movies, do what you did in this.
Yeah.
It's not a crawl, but it sets the stage. It felt like it fit with the blue lettering and stuff. That's way better than the way Rogue One did it.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's not a crawl, but you still have like a couple of... Although I did crack up a little bit when it said mean streets.
Mean streets.
Mean streets. I was like, oh, these mean streets,
Han
y'all.
Han Solo on these mean streets.
Yeah, I like the racing around in the cars. I thought that was pretty neat. I don't know that we necessarily needed a direct callback with the Millennium Falcon skidding around on an asteroid or whatever the fuck that was. You remember?
Yeah.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was a direct callback to that scene with the car. I don't know if that was necessary. But not that it didn't look cool.
The maneuver he learned from Needles?
Needles. Yeah.
Is that a reference to Back to the Future?
That's what they were saying during making Star Wars. Now, this is podcasting last night. That's what people, I think like Jared and Jason were talking about that. And that's what they felt like. It was a reference to Back to the Future. I wouldn't
cool.
be surprised. What did you think about... So I'll say this. You know, back in the day, Bob Iger said that this movie took place over like 6 years of Han's life.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was pre-Ron Howard. I think the Kasdans have both said that when Ron Howard was brought on, there was yet another rewrite of the script done to tighten some things up and stuff.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they shortened up the time frame that the movie takes place in.
That would make sense. Because even at the end, I was like, how is he going to get the Falcon back? You know, like the movie was starting to end and he and Lando had taken off in the
right.
Millennium Falcon.
Right.
I was like, how are you going to get it back? How are you going to get the Falcon back? But no, he hunted him down, played him another game for it.
Yeah.
And won fair and square.
Speaking of L3, we got to address something.
All right.
Do you remember, it's probably been a couple of months now, King Tom, the King of All Toms.
The King of All Toms.
He wrote in or called in, I think called in.
Prophet extraordinaire.
Right, he's the Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Oh, Nostradamus. This dude called in and was like, guys, I think, here's my crazy theory for Solo, I think L3's droid brain is going to be added to the Falcon, and she's going to be part of the Falcon's computer. And I think he pulled this all from old EU stuff that said that the Falcon was run by a series of
droid brains.
And I was like, Tom, that sounds cool to me, buddy, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that they would pull that off.
Right.
Not doubting Tom, doubting them. And then they fucking did exactly that.
And they went and did it.
Well done, Tom. Well done. Actually.
Well done for your foresight.
Yeah, my goodness.
Plus Force two. Is strong with that one.
Plus two to fucking Force Foresight. All right, so we're not going to do emails and voicemails full on since we got this different setup going on here at the hotel room, but we got to hear from King Tom. I hope he sent us a voicemail. I hope he's taking a fucking victory lap.
Well, I hope so.
Well deserved if he is. So here, let's hear what Tom has to say. Let
me see
if
I can get this going. I told you so.
No, he's such a classy dude. He's just probably like, I don't know how I did it. Like, here we go. Well, I thought, here we go. Here we go.
Hey, Hawes and Will, it's King Tom. I just got out of my second viewing of Solo because I'm crazy and I like to see Star Wars movies twice on opening night. And I gotta say, that is a damn good Star Wars movie. And I mean that just like, you know, Rogue One, I'm not comparing the two or anything, but it did a great job of opening up and exploring the Star Wars universe. And Solo did the same thing with characters that we already know. I liked what it did. I had a few little things here and there, but overall there was a, like, you know, the part where Han met Chewbacca, Donald Glover as Lando, he did a great job from being the Lando we know to even showing emotions that we've never seen from Lando before on that one scene of, what was it, Savarine, when he tells Han he hates him. I thought Donald Glover did a great job. Enfys Nest was cool, and I want more of her, and I did not expect her to be, you know, tied into who she was and all of that. And I have to say, the Kessel Run was a fucking delight. Just to watch Han, Chewbacca, everyone else in the Falcon, to watch the Falcon, to watch what it did. And I have to say, the music in that scene, you know, you have, from the second the Star Destroyer shows up, you have the callback to the Star Destroyer theme from A New Hope, which goes to the Escape from the Death Star theme, going to the asteroid chase and all the other music. And I know, look, I'm a big Giacchino guy, but I thought this Powell guy did a great job, a fantastic job. And I really like this movie. It had a ton of callbacks. Like I said, I saw it twice. But I feel like there's things that I missed, and I'm sure even after a few more viewings, I'm going to miss them. And it felt like it called upon, you know, old stuff, new stuff, even EU, and it pulled in or referenced the right EU stuff. So I am very happy. Very happy. And I hope you guys are too. I really do. And I hope you guys are having a great time in California. I guess that's all I have to... I could go on and on about this movie, but that's pretty much all I'm going to say for now, because I'm happy. Anyway, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you guys later.
He didn't even brag once.
Not a word about it.
What a fucking class act, y'all. Because if that was me, I'd be screaming it from the mountaintops.
I told you.
I got that shit right, y'all. Yeah, he brought up a couple of things. Hold on one second.
Hey, Jesse. Will you plug this in over there for me? Thank you.
He brought up a couple of things I wanted to talk about. We talked about Chewie and how great he was. But man, the first meeting between Han and Chewie, I couldn't stop smiling. Just because we're finally seeing that on film.
Yeah.
And it was nothing like I would have expected.
No, but it was perfect.
Would I have expected that Han got thrown down in a pit where Chewie was fucking eating people? Bro. And we got to see Chewie rip a dude's arms out of his socket.
Yeah, we did.
And it was surprisingly gory for Star Wars, too. There's like blood dripping off the arms and stuff.
Yeah.
Han's like, well, that was a uniform that would have fit me, but... Okay. Another thing I got to say, if there's something that I'm not the biggest fan of, it's the naming of Han Solo.
Yeah, I felt it too. But as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, really? We're doing this? Okay, well.
Okay.
So all right, I accepted it, and then I just moved on. But
this is my thing about it. It's not necessary. Like, his last name could just be Solo.
Well, the odd thing is that they try to kind of make it like he's an orphan at first. And then once he gets on the freighter, he's like, oh, I remember these from when my dad used to work on
it. Right. That, by the way, a quick aside before I get back to the Solo thing, that was a great scene.
Yeah.
Han and Lando trading like parent stories. That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good. Now, the Solo thing, like, you know, it's Han Solo. He's a loner. He's by himself. He's Han Solo. You know what I'm saying? I get how that's a little bit like on the nose, but that's, I don't care. I don't need you to explain that, like to come up with some explanation for his last name, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yes, that was the original intent behind the character's name. You don't have to explain that to me.
Right.
I'm fine with that just being his last name. I've long accepted that, yes, this guy's last name is Solo.
Solo.
You know? But not a deal breaker for me. I moved on pretty quickly from that.
It's like your name's Ben Alone.
Ben Alone. Always. That's my... Alone is my middle name. Ben Alone Always. It's the saddest name ever.
Oh, my God.
But also kind of cool when you think about it that, and this is something I just thought about, like when you think about something we've been talking about, the sort of comparisons between Han Solo and Finn with the whole Imperial backstory being deserters and whatnot,
right.
They both go by given names because Finn isn't his actual name. It's a name Poe gives him.
Right.
Han goes by Han Solo, which is a given name. So I guess that's kind of neat. Something I didn't think about before.
I like when they say something about you need to be a general. We need leaders or whatever. And he was like, oh, not today. Like
right.
At the end of the movie.
Yep. Yep. That was cool. I like that they didn't just make Han like a ramped up, more cynical version. Like you see the good guy that is in Han throughout
yeah,
this movie.
In his youth especially.
Well, no, at the end. I mean, he wants to give... As soon as he finds out what the Infus Nest and the Cloud Riders are all about,
right.
He wants to give them the fuel. He's
he
like,
does.
We can't give that fuel to Voss. I thought the Jabba references, like some of the stuff might have been a little on the nose for me, like the Darth Maul lightsaber. Even though I do like that it was Darth Maul. The Jabba reference I thought were handled perfectly. Just a couple tiny references to Tatooine and a big shot gangster.
Right.
You know? And that's all it takes. That's all you got to do. Because if there's a sequel to this in some form, of course Jabba's going to be part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Save something for the sequel. That's what I've been saying. He's like, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, we need to see the Kessel Run. We need to see how he met Lando. We need to see him win the Falcon. We need to see how he met Chewie. We need to have Jabba. We need to have Boba. We need to have the... I'm like, nah, man, you got to save something for more of these.
Yeah, you got to save something for the sequel, and you've checked a lot of those boxes already.
Yeah, they covered a lot of, like, big Han Solo stuff in this movie. Really, Boba, Jabba, stuff like that is what's left. I got to say, definitely slightly kind of disappointed that there wasn't even the slightest hint at Boba. I will say this. Someone clued me in on that. Someone that saw the movie a little early was like, I just want to tell you this so you know ahead of time, so you're not super disappointed when it happens, but there's no Boba. You know, I think it's one of those situations with, like, if you look at the movie, is there anybody you could have replaced with Boba? And I don't think so. And so once you do that and say, like, well, it's kind of like how Lando, like, you really wish Lando was in episode 8, but you see why, like, there wasn't just necessary. The way the story went, not really a way you can work him in there.
Right.
That's how I feel about Boba. Not necessarily a place you could have worked him in above just some sort of background cameo or something.
Which would feel forced.
Right. Maybe not as forced as seeing Darth Maul's lightsaber, though.
That's pretty forced. That's forcing it wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, I found it fairly fucking enjoyable. I think that's what I'm going away with. I can't wait to see it more and formulate more opinions. I say it every time. These first viewings for me are like a whirlwind. And then like I have trouble remembering parts. I've really focused on other parts. I need to see. I enjoyed the music. That's something King Tom brought up. I thought the music was great.
Yeah.
Infus Nest theme, bad ass.
Oh, yeah.
Although I couldn't tell you right now what John Williams' Han story was, or Han theme that he came up with was. But I'll be able to on further.
On second watch, you will.
Yeah. Guys, we went to, this is our country bumpkin segment of the podcast. We went to the nicest theater I've ever been to.
It was really nice.
Right? Like,
had a balcony level.
Yeah, so like so the theaters we go to in Birmingham, there is no assigned seating. There's no reserve seating. It's first come, first serve. So A, that's nicer than what I'm used to. Then we had like this big section up top that they had reserved because it had a wheelchair space. And when we went in there, I was like, how the fuck do I get up there? It's nothing but stairs. There's no ramp or anything. And Jason's like, dude, there's an elevator. There's an elevator to get to the second story of your theater, like the actual inside auditorium of the theater. I'm not used to that either.
Yeah.
That's not something we have around here. It was cool. Big, huge screen, great sound. From what I hear, the theater chairs are nice and comfy.
They are. Supreme.
But, yeah, do you have anything else that sticks out to you you want to talk about?
Just how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
How, what a wonderful experience it was.
Yeah, and we got some stories to tell you guys when we have more time.
Boy, do we.
We have some stories. We had quite the interesting flight. We spent a lot of time with our buddy Aaron. We've seen a lot of folks, and everybody's been real cool.
We had some interesting things happen while we're here.
Yeah, we have, man. Yeah, we have. Been a lot of fun. And pretty relaxed, too. That's the thing. Like, this is way more relaxed than last year when we went to Celebration. Because there was no, like, oh, let's just go wander around the beach and find somewhere to have a couple of drinks. And
yeah.
Watch some surfers wipe out. We kind of kidnapped a person. We kind of kidnapped Aaron Boyd and made him go on a fucking tour of California with us. He was down. He didn't complain, but like.
No, he was down for the ride.
We went to breakfast with him, and we were like, hey, get in our car. Hey, come here, guy. Come here, Aaron.
Come here. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy, get in our car. Chunk. You're coming with us.
It's like I don't even like Rice's Pieces.
All right, guys. So this is a pretty quick episode. Like I said, we just wanted to bang one out. We will be discussing Solo in more depth and more detail later on. But we got plans. We got things going on. We got a dinner to be getting to. We got secret things in the works. Maybe after we go to Disney or Sunday, we can try to maybe bang out another quick one. See what we thought about all the whole Star Wars experience at Disney.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. I've never been to Disneyland.
Neither have I.
Never been on Star Tours. So
I've been on the old Star Tours.
Well, guys, thanks for listening. And like I said, sorry it's been a sort of a quick one. But we'll talk about Solo quite a bit more in the coming weeks. Hell, we've got a year and a half before another Star Wars movie. So. Check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, our T Public store, Facebook, all that stuff. If you like our theme song, please be sure to check out the band that was kind enough to provide the music. They're Stone Cobra. You can find them on iTunes, Spotify, or at stonecobra.bandcamp.com. And until we talk to you guys next time, it's been Blue Harvest, and I'm Halls Burkhart.
I'm Will Witten.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with all of you.
May the Force be with us.